Hi, Jenny. We're watching Jose go by the shore. We're here, dedicated servants that we are. Roll call, Larry Fish here.
Rick Jerzak.
Jay Newsom.
Brian Smith.
Henry Thayer.
Susan Marcus.
Doug McLean is staff.
Okay. Before we do the approval of the minutes, I want an update from our liaison here on the baby and everything else, because I don't think everybody knows the whole update. So go ahead.
Sure, I have a baby.
In the minutes, Jenny.
We'll have a picture in the minutes for the next one. Beautiful. Eleanor Rose. So she was born August 22nd, and that was followed by 3 very fast weeks of paternity leave. It flew by. And she's doing very well, almost doing well. Happy and healthy, just living the normal baby life, which is noisy, and up a lot.
Yeah. Well, she's only 3 weeks.
She's only 3 weeks, but she doesn't sleep much even for a 3-week-old.
Well, August 22nd.
Not at all my experience.
Well, we know she's cried, but has she smiled yet?
She hasn't cracked a smile yet, but she's cracked some cute looks. Yeah. I'll pass the...
It'll come soon.
Well, you got the background on my screen.
Your first smile.
That doesn't come until 3 months.
You think?
No, I know.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know. You don't smile until you're 3 months.
Oh, wow. Huh? That's a nice-looking baby. Of course.
Jenny, we're getting some pictures now.
You sure that's your baby?
Looks nice. More like my wife than Dustin.
Mailman must be handsome.
It's
<huh?
laughs> a mailman. What kind of mailman you got?
How much did she weigh? You can give us the details.
She's a small one, yeah. 6 pounds, 2 ounces. She's a little one.
Didn't feel a thing.
How tall?
Was that?
How tall?
Actually, 19 and a half inches.
So that's good.
It's pretty long.
Yeah.
So she's gaining some of that weight because she's eating a ton.
She's adorable.
She's in the middle of her growth spurt and eats.
That's good.
So she's doing well. And
going through diapers like crazy.
Oh my god. It's funny because I was like, we got way too many of these like tiny infant diapers.
Yeah.
I imagine she'll grow out of these in a second. It's like, let's go back to the store. Let's go get more of those.
Go back to Babies R Us before they close.
Goes fast, pal. I'm telling you that. So enjoy
it.
Because
it's so fleeting.
Unbelievable. Doesn't seem that way when you're there. But man,
it's
goes.
Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday
night.
Yeah.
It goes by.
You wake up this phase. Your first birthday, and you wake up again, it'll be the fifth birthday.
Unbelievable. I'm telling you. Crazy how it goes.
And keys for the car.
Yeah. And then the problems start. You start worrying about that. Oh, God.
Keys for the car. Daddy, my boyfriend is sleeping now.
Oh, God.
See what you got?
The boyfriend.
Yeah, it sounds like it gets so much better.
Get yourself
so much support here. It's unbelievable.
I want to put in a good word.
First time you meet your boyfriend.
I'm in it to win it, but man, it sounds like it just gets better and better.
First time you meet the boyfriend, you put your pistol on the counter. And you say, oh, hi, how are you?
All right, approval of the minutes. We'll do one at a time. I read both of them. I didn't see anything, but I wasn't looking for it.
I was absent for both meetings, so.
All right. Yeah, but the grammar and the spelling. All right.
I'm going to give you a pass on that.
All right. Do I hear a motion on the July 6 minutes?
So made.
All right. Second. Henry, thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the ayes have it, and July is in the books. Now we go to the minutes of the August 3rd. Do I hear a motion on that one?
No move.
All right, Brian, thank you. And second?
Second.
Second, Jay. All right. Any discussion on that one? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. All the housekeeping is done.
Are we going to get minutes for the special meeting?
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think they're ready yet.
Yeah.
Larry.
Yep.
So, and Doug, there's a point I want to make. The amount of time between July, whatever, 26th, and now, it's 60 days or more than that. And this other one here is more than 35 days. State open meeting laws say that any public committee has to publish its minutes within 35 days or before the next meeting, whichever comes first. And the only thing difference when I read the law, it said that if it's not a non-advisory committee, it has to be filed with the Secretary of State within those time frames. I mean, we're an advisory committee, but we still have the legal obligation to get our minutes out.
Yeah.
You know, based on what's in the open meeting laws. I know we've done a lot of discussion about open meeting laws, and I think it's an important point because people forget what the heck they said and what's in here. You know? Mm-hmm. So, Jenny, she's too busy. May want to consider a temp to get these things out.
We used to have them. So we used to have more office support. We used to have another part-time person in the office that would assist with the minutes, but unfortunately, the budget realities of that did not allow that to continue. So we basically do the best we can. We do gain more responsibilities and gain more committees. We don't lose them. So we're basically just doing the best we can. I think Jenny's already overtaxed. We, in the last 3 months, we gained two more committees as advised under the planning department, so those are two more sets of minutes that are needed to be made under the same amount of time.
And we didn't used to meet in the summer, so she had the summers off.
Mm. I understand your point. I do think that we've done research into making sure that we're not running afoul of state meetings law, and essentially we're not, because a recording of our minutes are made publicly available immediately after the meeting.
Okay, so this voice recording is made?
The voice recording is immediately available after the meeting. The recorded minutes that we develop, you know, first we don't make them publicly available until this committee approves them. So until you guys vote to approve, these are not, you know, out there on the web or on the state's website. But then once they are approved by your group, we do that. Generally, your approval comes, you know, on an average basis, it comes within the next month. So they are being approved and they're available in the next month. But, you know, we still don't put them out before the next meeting.
Larry, if I picked up on this and I could figure this out, there's some yokels out there, and they're definitely going to make a point about it sooner or later.
But I think his point, and I didn't know that, is if they're available via voice, then they're within
Has the town solicitor said okay to that?
Was that?
Has the solicitor
said okay? Yeah, they're aware of our practices. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we do this for, I mean, you're not the only committee that occasionally, you know, we can't get the minutes to you by the next meeting. We're very aware of what all the state statutory requirements are for this.
This as long as the solicitor says it's okay, or it should be okay.
So what are the two new committees?
Sustainability Committee, which I'll be staffing coming up pretty soon. It was, I think Chelsea had staffed the first few meetings, but they're actually focused on a lot of, you know, to some extent, some of the similar issues that you are. It's just a different perspective. And then the other one is the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, which I think is a little bit of a more formalized outgrowth of the Healthy Places by Design grassroots effort. Those are the two new groups that we're planning. Both of them, the BPAC, I think, had their first meeting just last week.
Yeah.
The Sustainability Committee has about maybe three under their belt so far.
I don't know. I know that BPAC was just in the last 2 weeks.
I'm surprised the BPAC wasn't just made a part of the traffic committee.
It's a different angle. The traffic transportation review committee, the T-squared RC, is actually more of a staff level committee. So it's there's a representative from, you know, police, planning, engineering, but it's at a staff level. The BPAC, which is the local citizen committee, is, I think, more of a, you know, what are the local concerns and directing advisory policy specifically for the pedestrian and bicycle safety issues. Those that track the Healthy Places group know that there was a very strong local citizen component that maintained a lot of energy after that process, and they, you know, what really their focus was a lot of the pedestrian and bicycle issues. So I think it was enough bringing those issues to the forefront and enough of bringing it to the council's attention that they felt that it was warranted to actually formalize this group with another town committee.
Okay. Let's go on to the commercial highways.
Sure. Nothing on my end. Jay, did you have any updates on some of the research you've done?
I'm coming along with the spreadsheet, and I will have it to you probably within a week. And what I'd ask you to do would be to send it out to everybody as soon as you know, as soon as you can get it out to them. It's good. It's in a legal size spreadsheet, landscape.
Yep.
And it's coming right along.
Okay.
Interestingly, the town of Northampton, the maximum density is 25 per acre, 25 dwelling units.
Northampton, Massachusetts.
And I looked at ours again, and the only place in town you can really do 7.8 is commercial downtown, subcategory mixed use. When I looked at it again, it turns out that our mixed use turns out to be four dwellings per acre.
Yeah, and you might be able to get away with more in our, like, what is it, the multi-household. There's a specific regulation that allows for an apartment complex.
Well, for mixed use, though.
Yeah, for mixed use.
The mixed use category, and yeah. I've been preaching mixed use. Well, that's the category that we would want to do would be commercial downtown mixed use is the category that really comes up with the stuff that we want.
Yep, definitely. The Northampton's my old stomping grounds. That's a good town.
Yeah.
But I mean, it does have a mixed use downtown that's very vibrant. But yeah, maybe the density there is a little more, the height might be a little more, but it's not a bad comparison in terms of the look and feel.
Yeah, I mean, they did a lot of things like they don't have any setback.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they have a setback, but they don't have any side yard requirements. It's zero. So you can build one building right
and they have And they have design criteria.
Yeah, that might be true. I think that could be a good model to look at. And when we look at all these things, we'll look at both zoning and then what are the other regulatory tools that they use to get there.
Right.
But I know your main crux of this and the main crux of the EDC is just to say, I think we can put more there, intensify the use, and we can do mixed use because here are great examples of where that fits well within town settings just like ours. I think your research is providing the basis of that on those two conceptual advancements, and then the details of like, okay, you know, how do we want to set up the little design setbacks? It's some of that stuff, you know, we don't want to get too caught in the weeds. We want to basically hand it off, but at that point, we want to discuss what we found it as the basis for moving forward, and then I think we discuss bringing it to the planning board and what's this group's next goal with public outreach.
Right. This is basic information, and the more I look at it, the more I see that you're not going to be able to say, well, we ought to do exactly what Northampton does, because each of these towns has their special situations.
Yeah.
Like Franklin has got a water problem, so they make special category for water, because they don't have enough water. And, every town is different. So
the planner from Northampton came to that town.
Wing 5?
Yeah.
Is he still there?
No, it's a woman.
Oh, was it a woman then? Okay.
Whose name I don't remember.
I went to grad school out there, so I lived in Northampton and knew the planner pretty well.
The woman who's there now would be somebody who the planning board would definitely want to talk to.
And the other thing is that we need to start thinking about doing our interviews of people in the town. I haven't been ready to do that yet. Henry's on the subcommittee. We need to get some more help on the subcommittee.
Yeah.
Maybe at the next meeting.
Who else is on the subcommittee?
I was for a while.
Are you still interested? I'd be happy to have you.
Yeah, well, I'm debating whether I stay on the Economic Development Committee, so I don't know. I shouldn't maybe put my hand up for too many things.
All right. Who do you have anybody? Is Patty on it?
Patty is on it, too.
Yeah, Patty.
So my suggestion would be in terms of a step process, I think you're in the right spot, which is like get the groundwork for like what are the better comparisons and what is the basic information from them to basically help make the case.
Yeah.
Then I think we as a group talk about our outreach plan. So
the
like
results,
this,
right.
yeah, Well, the results of your initial research, right. But before we go out and we start soliciting, yes. Hey, you know, let's interview this person, that person, let's develop some amount of, you know, notice from this group just to make sure that, you know, the planning board and the town council are aware, hey, we're moving forward as discussed. The last thing we want is, as you may be aware, once you bring the word zoning up to certain people, like it triggers a thing in their brain that sometimes people immediately assume, like, something's going on, I don't know what's going on, but they might go right to a council person. So the last thing we want is anyone be caught off guard, very transparent. So my thought is, once we know we're going to outreach, we as a committee think, you know, are aware, we develop our plan for it. I think interviews is a good way to go. I had a sense that you know, like there might be a little bit of the door-to-door, like coming to someone's business and coming in and saying, hey, I just want to introduce myself, I want to introduce some of the things that our committee has been thinking about. Keep it very casual, but then I think it would be wise for this group, if we're doing any kind of outreach, to think about, there's a kind of a first introduce yourself, personalize it, but then maybe there's a meeting you can suggest that we set up some sort of community forum to say, hey, we'd like to really, you know, make sure we've heard your feedback and give people lots of opportunity to give it before we try to say, we think we know what you want. We want to say, we think that there's some legs to these basic concepts. What do you think? So then the impetus really comes from, you know, the people. And so I think that that would be, and then what I think is also, you're finding great examples, like Northampton. If you showed people pictures of Northampton and said, this is a town that does really good mixed use, most people would jump out of their seats and say, I really like the way that looks. And so then we can kind of play with vetting some of these conceptual ideas and starting to put them more, kind of firming them up and really saying people really like this and maybe they don't like that. And then it gives us some legwork to work on when we want to pass it off and say, let's do the zoning work now. Here's what the public input is driving us towards. But all of that, we can kind of start narrowing down the details. But I think mostly it's just we want to make sure that as a committee we're aware and we're sending the notice to our friends at the Council of Planning Board before we jump into the public outreach.
No, I had no intention of doing anything until at least we talked about it at the next meeting. I think it'll be a good agenda item how we're going to handle that. And I will try to get some pictures of Northampton. I'm thinking about taking a foliage drive up that way.
And, probably the next time you do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You probably find some good stuff on the web.
There's
too.
Good stuff on the web. I'll send you this woman's name. She came to this. She spoke at the Preserve Wakefield conference or panel or whatever, which was you were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
Which I think suggests a way to do this because it generated a good lot of support across a broad community because it was people talking about their experience with what they've done
I think that's a key thing. There would be, you know, to get our planning department when we decide what we like and what we don't like. You know, because some of these, like Plymouth, is not going to be a good example. You know, but some of the other towns will be. Maybe there are a couple of towns where you guys, planning department, will want to go up and talk with them, or you know, somehow make phone calls and talk about their experience.
Yeah, I'm happy to help. I mean, at a staff level, I mean, you know, I've told you from the start, Jay, that, you know, doing something different and better and the basic concepts you're talking about, there's no disagreement from pretty much all the planning staff and I think the planning board. I think the sticky wicket is that, you know, you might have a mixed bag in terms of property. Some would love it, and some would say, don't change my zoning for anything because I'm just not ready to, you know, think about having a, you know, I've got my business model set on exactly how I'm set up. I don't want to think about my hand being forced or anything. So the, you know, how we bring it to them in that context, I think is important. And
well, then how we structure it should be a matter of how they would like it structured. I mean, that's you're talking my language because they need to come back and say, well, if you did this, this, and this as a group, if they said that, then we could be very happy with it.
Yeah, and I think one good tool that we've used in the past, I've seen it used very well in situations like this, where we're trying to basically keep it conceptual and keep things positive and keep people basically saying, these are the things I want, but without getting into the weeds of like, I don't want the setback to be 5 feet, I want it to be 3 feet, you know, then that's where it's like, okay, you know, we're getting too caught in the weeds, is a visual preference survey. You basically can show images of the places that you found. We can show a range of images of, you know, what we might think of as good commercial development, good mixed-use development. Maybe we show a few images where we're like, hey, I don't know about that. Maybe that's too dense. Maybe that's not dense enough. Maybe, you know, some of them have the parking in the front. Maybe some of them the parking in the side, the parking in the back. We show these people just images, and we ask them to, you know, basically we can do a system where we ask them to rank and say, you know, I like that one, I don't like that one. And then at the end, we have something quantitative to say, here's what people seem to generate, you know, and then we can kind of take it and say, what is it about this place, the regulations that cause that style of development or that picture that we can take from and say, well, how do we move forward from there?
There is, I agree with that almost completely, but there is a problem that Kevin Lynch explained to us at MIT back in the 70s, which is that when you show people those pictures, they don't often know what they're looking at. They may like the color yellow. So they say, yeah, I like these buildings that are yellow. Or they may like the flowers in front. Or they may like the car in the driveway. Or they, it's just, he used to say, you have to try to get a set of images that are really, that distill what it is that you want people to be looking at.
That makes sense. You could show a really bad zoning area with pretty flowers,
yeah,
and it would look better than a really well-zoned area that you just caught the bad image of.
I think that's
fair. So we'd have to, I mean, that's just something that I think might be worth, it might be a good tool to use in like a public meeting format, to help kind of get another level. But I think this group would have a role in the, what are those images? What do we think about them? And do we think that they're leading, or do we think that they're fair?
If you want input from the property owners, you're not going to get it at a public meeting. If you want input from townspeople, they will come. But
townspeople meaning residents
or Costanza or Jaber or any of the stakeholders in the commercial highway, they're not going to come, and they're not going to open up their mouth in front of anybody.
Yeah, I don't think Costanza would.
All right.
What about the Wakefield mower? Do you think he would?
No.
Maybe. Well,
they
don't
want to piss anybody off.
Yeah.
All right. That's why I don't have any political signs out on my property.
But Larry, how about if they went to the chamber the way we had Levy and Jaber and others?
Possibly, but
so it wasn't here.
Two members going around sitting with them.
Uh-huh.
They'll talk, and they'll talk openly and everything else.
Yeah. And probably
it's just that none of them. I mean, even Paul McCullough, he wanted, when it was electronic lights, the LED light signs, he was behind it, but he wouldn't come and speak. But he was willing to put $5,000 into a kitty if other people wanted to bite it. You know, because...
So that suggests maybe that you need to have a little kit of these things.
The other thing that is, I think it suggests that the first step really is to personalize it one-on-one, and then if they give you good information, say, hey, this is really useful, but then let them know it's anonymous so that no one feels as though that they have some sort of like, you know, hey, my reputation is at stake here. No one, you know, everyone's comfortable feeling, you know, sharing exactly on a factual basis what they think is right and wrong. And if they don't come, I mean, I think it's, you know, maybe it's because
you're talking 25, 30 landowners.
Yeah. But maybe it's because I'm a planner. But I mean, to some extent, you want to vet things in a setting that you feel like no one's going to poke holes through later. You know, hey, everyone had a chance to participate. So that's why a forum is kind of a nice setting. And I mean, it could be basically in place of your meeting, or your meeting becomes a public forum, opening that conversation up to whoever might want to join. And then everyone feels as though, hey, you know, they really are trying to reach out. They're trying to hear everyone's perspective.
Bobby Toth is going to speak.
I would hope as that goes along, any planning documents would be sent out as drafts to all the property owners, and they could participate in actually forming the documents.
Yeah.
The document.
Yeah. Zoning is always hard to do with lots of different people in the mix, but I think what we're trying to do is not write the zoning, is to say that these are the base concepts that we want to validate, that these should be integrated. You know, the details of which, you know, can be figured out, we should review later on, but like, you know, where we're going to stop is that, you know, hey, we think that more intense uses and mixed use, we think that those two concepts have great merit here. And I think that you're not going to find a lot of disagreement with planning staff or planning board members on that. It's just, you know, how do we get to the next step?
As long as the process doesn't infringe on rights that we already own.
Right. Do you want to talk about, do you have any more information on the commercial neighborhood zone 138-1?
No, I don't have any.
Planning board is still working on that?
Yeah, so last week sent them a letter and basically said we think that this is worth you considering. You guys all saw the draft of the letter, and so I have not heard back from them yet. But I'll check in just to say, you know, hey, when can we respect a response on it? So.
Okay, let's go on to the next one, which is a new item.
Yep.
Doug brought this up to me. I wanted to add it on, but I didn't have a problem with it. It's and I added some things what I thought should be in there that I think Susan, you'd be right there pushing me right to the forefront to add. But go ahead and you Doug.
Sure, yeah. Basically, is you all have a memo in your packet on this. It's but you know, as you're aware, the EDC. Your interests align with a lot of things that the town is trying to keep its eyes, you know, on the field on. And so grant opportunities and where they align with what the EDC is doing is, you know, when we want to let you guys know and bring you into the fold when we can. And so this is a grant opportunity that we thought actually could be focused on the commercial highway district. Because if we see that as being an area that does have a potential for more development, a different mix of development, I think that eventually we'd certainly need to know that the transportation infrastructure could support it, and then what is the best choices within that state right-of-way that would, you know, allow for and support more growth in this area. Larry's comments, and I think they were good ones, were that, you know, if we're doing some transportation planning here, let's also look at, you know, the
public transportation,
public transit and access issues in
trolleys, URI, integrating that into our business core, that kind of thing, Susan. Yeah.
So generally all I need from this group for this item is a motion to direct staff to write a letter that is consistent with, you know, basically the base concepts that are described in this memo, which is that, you know, the EDC is, you know, focused on this matter. The EDC sees there being potential for future growth in this corridor, and that your current research, you know, really discusses the importance of this specific area, with Old Tower Hill Road being the main corridor through it, that, you know, you think additional monies and additional focus on improving that transportation corridor assists the EDC with its work, and a letter of support from you is seen as helpful for the town's application to this program.
Could we also add something about you know, increasing population density along that area?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think I used words that were more like, you know, just increased potential future development, but I think I'm happy for our letter to use the words increased density. So I think if unless anyone else has other specific points they want in that letter, I mean, it's going to be a right to the point, a one pager. It's probably going to, you know, as you guys have seen my writing style, it's not going to be any big surprises. It's just going to, you know, put enough in there just to say, you know, the EDC supports it and this is aligned with the EDC's work.
I so move.
Second.
Second it.
Henry seconds it. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
All right.
While we have that little map in front of you, I just have a question. With this commercial highway in this section of town, planning board was looking at rezoning this area. If you look at the map, these are mostly houses, but with some offices in it, right there. And it's between, it's the center of the triangle, if you will. And this committee, probably 15 years ago, suggested to the planning board that they look at rezoning that. You can keep residential, but allow commercial in there. and it was never acted on and never worked on, but I think the planning board is looking at it.
I think there's some inklings of it right now.
I'm glad you're all sitting down. All right?
It was even before my time that you talked about that.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, Joe Beely was on the committee.
Well, Joe and I were on together, but all right, before that.
That would be probably a commercial neighborhood type situation,
rather than a mixed use. Some element of just allowing and you know, kind of creating opportunities for the type of commercial development that's there now. So it might be mixing in neighborhood, or it might be something that's a little new. I don't know what I know that they were looking at it and evaluating it. I don't know where they ended up on feeling like the whole thing should be rezoned, or if it should be tweaked so that that area is seen as something where commercial development should be able to continue.
If your bird's eye view of the town, and you're looking, I mean, this stands out as it's residential, but it would, if you're talking about infill and density, from a commercial standpoint, this is.
Yeah, well, I think this speaks to the fact that this is commercial highway.
Yeah.
These things are all lined up, the development here is lined up along these roads, and all these little roads are little.
Right.
Not little, you know, so that's, that's the history of the problem.
Right. So I just wanted to point that, being the historian of the committee. All right. Let's go on to the URI study. Have you heard anything from my buddy Will?
No, all Will Green. I know he's chasing his students.
Yeah.
So I'm out of town. I've been out of town. So when I left, you know, we basically told Will our updates, suggestions, which were not significant. Fairly
that.
But what we got, as you guys are aware, was a text document where they still needed to marry the two back up, graphics and text, and the students have been working on it. Will has been chasing them. I've been cued in on where they stand. I've been telling Will we really want to have this document ready, so at least he feels the pressure from the town. He says it's going to be within a week from now. I told him to try to have it by this meeting. He said, I'm not quite there. I think by next week.
Is it printed? Is it gonna, when we get it, is it gonna be printed like those fancy ones that we saw from Galilee and
a couple of copies? Yeah, I don't know if in their scope I'd have to look at the scope of work to see if we actually they're on the hook for a glossy copy. If not, we can get some.
I think that was in it.
I think it was in there.
I think we're looking for a dozen copies or something like that for the
Yeah, I forget, but I mean, we'll look at it. If they owe us stuff, we'll make sure they give it to us, trust me. If not, I think we can try to find a way to make sure there's at least some glossy copies so that when we want to share them with the council or the EDC, it's not something we're going to print out hundreds and hundreds of glossy copies, but, you know, as a digital document, we can certainly make it available on the web. Usually that's where most people are getting their information these days, so we want to make it a nice digital document, and then when we have a couple of hard copies, make sure the council has them, so when we meet with them, they're all very impressed with the work that was done. But that's where we stand, so we'll wait until the meeting.
Okay.
So we also had talked among the group, some of us have talked about the importance of actually getting something done on the river. The amphitheater, and getting some of the weeds out, if that's possible, but at least the amphitheater. And I'm wondering if that's something that the town should go ahead with some sort of planning on.
What do you mean the amphitheater?
The flood control amphitheater, going back into the bank on the school side and making an amphitheater there.
I remember what the proposal was, but just didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, how did we get to feeling that was a thing that was definitely what we wanted to do?
Well, some of us were talking about it, and we thought that, you know, that would be a key improvement that we could make to keep that area from flooding, to keep the parking lot from flooding, and that maybe if the town engineers could look at that and get an idea of what's going on there. So if some money comes available or a project can be sought out,
Let me see what we can do, Jay, because I mean we don't want to wait too long on this report.
Right.
I'd like to have the report because I don't want to go to some people and say, oh, tell us what you think about this without the document ready. But The amphitheater was one of a handful of concepts that we felt were like, hey, these are some of the good ones. You know, they gave us a ton of stuff. We couldn't have everything they gave us in our report. So we wanted, you know, a basis for some of the good big ones, which some of them are, you know, I'm not going to say cheap, but they're not huge, huge infrastructure investments. Some of them are simple pathways along the river and its landscaping. And some of it's major landscaping, but it's, you know, it's landscaping.
Right.
So why don't, by the next meeting, I'll try to have an update. It might not be, you know, really concrete, like here's what the engineering study on this will run, but it'll be at least, you know, what would be the process of considering each of these various ideas.
Yeah, I think flood control is something that is on a few people's mind right now.
Invasives was...
yeah, invasive.
And getting the DEM permits, yep, to be able to remove that was something that the town was supposed to be looking at.
Well, yeah, and I think what we thought where we're at was that removal of invasives, but not just invasives, but there are some areas that it could just be removal of the existing landscaping, right, to create view sheds, yeah, but that you can't just remove without replacing. You have, right, to think about what goes in there, so you know,
to
or else you're gonna, yeah, like
rats,
basically. Recompete
so you can see the river.
And so where, and you know, not just do it once, so,
right,
that it's done once, you know, where can there be, you know, an ongoing maintenance effort. I think we talked about opening up views from the Saugatucket Park side, and
yeah,
so
let me
see. I know we've been waiting on the report. I think the report is close, but maybe by the next meeting I'll try to come at least with a few initial conversations with engineering on their thoughts on some of this. And, I mean, even though some of these we say are cheap, I mean, even, you know, major landscaping changes are, you know, that could be grant-funded projects. So, but at least see if I can get some ballpark ideas on, you know, what they run and
have you run into any grants that you think clean water or...
We're usually keeping our eyes open. Some of the ones that we've seen... didn't quite fit the bill. They were, you know, looking at a different angle than we were focused on. So nothing new on that. You know, the latest grant that we saw, our latest opportunity we saw we're going for is actually more connected to the commercial highway work.
You know, one of the things we talked about early on when we started talking about the river were the trees that were overhanging.
Yep.
And somehow that got lost in the forest.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay. Those trees still need to be trimmed. They hang over the river too much, and they kind of block the view, and they kind of are not attractive at all. And I don't know whether that's something that the town could take on, or that would be, again, something we might want to look for some money on. But I don't think that's in the proposal at all, and it's certainly something that...
Well, it's implicitly in there with some of the changes in the edges of the river.
They had made some walkways and stuff, but nobody had talked about just trimming back the trees.
Yeah,
if we did nothing else, just trim back the trees.
I mean, keep in mind, the students' work wasn't, you know, they weren't giving us like a new maintenance practice. They were giving us wholesale changes. Like, well, that tree's gone.
Yeah.
And, but they weren't telling us, well, that tree will be trimmed. It was either that tree's gone and we have a whole new concept, or that part we just left untouched.
Yeah.
But within that, Jay, we have our own... maybe smaller focus, which we can keep, having a conversation about, which might be more of like a, we don't need to do a wholesale change to talk about some of these vegetative maintenance.
It doesn't need to be in this plan, but... Right.
Yeah. I do think that it's wise for us to, you know, I can do a little legwork and maybe come back to the next meeting with at least, you know, having contacted engineering and having some of those discussions. But for us, the committee's next step is a letter to the council, which, you know, is definitely going to be a cover to the report, and saying this report, as it was done with assistance from the EDC, we feel it really highlights some of the good work. Here are the specific things that we think, you know, could be, you know, important next steps.
And we would like $50,000 to hire a consultant to come up with all the dollars and the different phases of the development.
You said that, not me.
That's what it's gonna be, buddy.
There were some things like signs on Main Street,
yeah,
that would say there's a river down there, and you know, so there are some other things. When we get the report, I think we can go through and find.
Yeah, we and I think signage was one of the things that we highlighted as we thought we really wanted to make sure.
Did we get that grant, the 300?
No.
No.
The one that we applied for, the Main Streets, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
No.
No, but we've been promised some trash barrels.
Was that?
I think Warwick can get the trash barrels.
Did Warwick get it? Yeah, and we were.
We haven't got them yet.
Yeah, they may allow some of those same grant programs back next year, so it's on our radar. Yeah, we made a pretty good pitch. We thought it was a very competitive application.
I can't understand it. I'm sorry. I'm an educated person, but I can't understand why we don't have trash barrels.
I told you, if we I lost on this vote at this committee, that we had to go to them and make a stink. In June or July, whatever it was, I think it was June.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten till later. Now it's near the end of September, and they're out to bid. They got to look at the different kinds. They're
I've got my own idea of why they don't like trash barrels. Okay, and I really think this is the case. I think what ends up happening is that you put a trash barrel out, it's like it attracts people to put household trash in.
Well, they throw that on the side of the road.
I'm telling you right now, if you look and you see, because I've seen in many places they'll put a trash. I've always said, listen, why the hell aren't there any trash barrels at East Matunuck in the wintertime? So people take their stuff and either, you know, at the beach, there's no trash barrel. And I really think it's because what probably happened over the history, I remember owning a home down here, these people come for the weekend and they do with their garbage.
Right.
So what they do is on the way home, they'll go to East Matunuck and shove it in the barrel. Okay?
Right.
So they take it home.
You want to see the problem at the mall.
Yeah, probably the same thing.
I get
I'll bet that's one of the reasons that you see fewer and fewer trash barrels, because it's got so difficult to get rid of household waste. I mean, it is. It's a pain in the you don't know. So, but, and I don't know how the hell you deal with that. Other than the fact that you say, well, all right, we got to pick it up. No, you got to have trash barrels.
So, by the November meeting,
I'm a regular on the
date. Josh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they stand on the news.
Yeah.
I know that they've.
The guy knows my name.
In here see all the different things that they were going to work on that they reported back to you.
I read it.
In July. And get an update on the things that were coming immediately.
And people keep asking, I'm standing in front of Onawamba. Is there a public restroom here? And he says, yeah, it's right in that building. He says, how come there's no sign there? And I said, that's a very deep philosophical question.
Is there a sign? There's a sign.
It's not a sign. It's not like a sign you would see if you were driving by.
There's a sign on the door.
It's on the door.
It's on the door.
But there's no sign pointing to public restrooms.
And goes, something like that's easy. Just go over to high school, have them make a sign up and put it on there. He said, they're always looking for little projects.
I mean, in Narragansett, they haven't come up with
this. This goes back to my whole philosophy. You're then attracting people from all over the place.
and
do obnoxious things in our new restaurant.
You want to know that I've been to the mall twice in the last 7 days because someone in the ladies' room, I call it the women's room because people that use it are not ladies.
Uh-huh.
They stuff the sink with the paper towel and then they turn the water on and it floods out into the hallway.
Well, that's
and then I have people calling and complaining and everything else.
That's vandalism. That's got to be kids, right? It can't be adults doing that. Why would an adult?
It's a female because these things only happen in the ladies' room. They don't happen in the men's room. I've got homeless people in the men's room all the time.
Yeah.
But but they're respectful.
I use the one at Panera in the mall. Is there another one? Is there a public?
That's for Panera.
Yeah,
right across the hall next to
Critter. Since I don't spend a whole lot of time stuffing the sink with these things.
Are you sure, Susan?
Yeah. Are you sure?
Check the tape.
But that's what will happen. I mean, but they already had experienced that at Tuckertown Park and West Kingston. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't even have those restrooms because, you know, the town didn't have the resources.
I've always felt, Henry, if you needed a men's room, you'll find it.
Yeah.
It's truer for a men's room than over women's room.
That's right.
Let me just tell you, much experience. Well, you know, I think there's one subtle thing that suggests to people whether they should trash something or not, and that is the way the whole sidewalk looks. Mm-hmm. And frankly, our sidewalks, with all the weeds growing up in them, with all the crud stuck in the storm drains, it doesn't look like anybody has any real sense of pride in the... The choo-choo loo does. It looks very nice. You know, it's kept up very neatly. But I think a lot of the rest of the town just looks like people really don't care.
Well, I'll tell you that joyful call from the Muse, mm-hmm. and... Kenny from Phil's, and about 10 volunteers, and Belle from the Belle Block, who has a sweeper. They went out on a Saturday or Sunday morning. I think it was a Sunday morning, early, 7 o'clock, something like that. And they walked, and they pulled weeds with shovels and everything else, and they said there were some drains that were completely covered with this much dirt and weeds and everything else. And they estimate, they worked until like 10:30, 11, and they swept and picked it all up. And they did 60% of
Main Street
from the Muse to the Narragansett Times. Mm-hmm. And they took pictures before and after and everything else. And they were just trying to get together again for another weekend, and they would have it all done. But over 60% is better than what it was, because the town told them that they had to deal with it. They weren't going to do it.
Well, why wouldn't the town take care of the storm drains? That's...
The town's
I don't think they knew it was there. George from the Muse said he doesn't think that you would have known there was a drain there.
Well, that's not what I was told when I asked about it. I was told that the town now has iPads, and they know where every single storm drain is, and they inspect them. Yeah, that's what they said.
I know that before the storm, they came and down the end of my street, they cleaned it right out.
They did it today in front of my house.
Yeah.
A big vacuum truck came and sucked everything out.
Yeah.
Not that I know the details, but I know that they've got the equipment to do it.
Yeah.
So
they were definitely...
It says in the minutes somewhere something. There was some comment about sweeping the streets, and they said they sweep Main Street twice. The town said they do.
Yeah.
I was at the budget meeting last year where they authorized the purchase, $30,000, of a new street sweeper. I would just like to say, if they want to amortize the cost of the street sweeper, they could use it more than twice a year on Main Street.
Here's the answer, because you weren't at this meeting. Twice as much as any other street, because they sweep every street in the town once, and they do Main Street twice. So the answer was they do it twice as much.
No, what Steve told me was that it's so expensive to have somebody operating this street sweeper. And I said, if I had known that, I would have definitely said, don't buy the street sweeper.
Right.
Don't put $30,000. Why have that piece of equipment if we can't afford to operate it?
I can't believe it was only $30,000. Because the one at the mall, I was involved in the purchase, and that was almost $40,000.
Oh, yeah.
And that's only a small one.
Well, it could have been one of Steve's funds where, you know, he puts a certain amount. So maybe this year.
So much a year.
This year he put, but this was the year they got
the bill. The big Elgin ones, I bet you, would be 90 grand, something like that, 100 grand.
That's
all right, let me get on to the number 7, because I've got a couple of things under that. Susan, you weren't here, but everybody else was here for the presentation for the Marriott Fairfield Inn. All right, and I came in and signed a letter as a recommendation, as you guys approved. Do we have a copy of that? That was Kayla. Is it Kayla?
Yeah, I don't have. Let me see.
If not, I want to
I got it.
Can you give everybody a copy of that?
I can make one before everyone leaves.
Okay. So that you have that got done, all right? And now, as part of that, Henry, since you went to the meeting, give our committee an update of the planning board meeting.
You were very interested. But I have to tell my wife to stop laughing at the guys, you know? it was like 2 hours. It reminded me of meetings at HP when nobody really has anything to say, but they want to talk anyway. The plan has no detail to it at all. But when the public comments started, one of the things I thought was impressive is I got up and commented that I thought it was a good thing because it would add another 100 hotel rooms to the town in terms of disaster recovery. So you'd have another 100 rooms to evacuate people to. And of course, you know, tourism, URI, all that stuff. And Maria agreed with me. But Jim O'Neill got up and really made some very pertinent comments where he said that this piece of property, I guess he's talked to you about this, because he told me that he has. This piece of property is probably the last piece of property in town where you can do something like this. And to put a Fairfield in there, not make some kind of a statement, you know, we'd be closing the door on that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't tell us whether or not this hotel would have a ballroom. They couldn't tell us whether or not the hotel would have a bar. They couldn't tell us whether or not the hotel.
They told us they wouldn't have either.
Well, neither one of them. They told us
at that meeting that I was at the meeting too. The architect did not know what was going on the inside of the building, but basically it has a breakfast room.
Yeah.
No kitchen.
Yeah.
No
meeting room.
A couple little meeting rooms of some number of square feet that I've forgotten. Yeah. Seven.
So it needs more detail to it. It needs more meat. Because the questions that were coming, they kept just really getting into the weeds and getting into the weeds and getting into the weeds. So they need to come back with more detail.
So it continued to...
It's continued, definitely.
I don't think it's much is going to change, though, from the continuation. But I was there, too. I thought it was a really inside-out meeting. The developer had not talked to Marriott about any of the changes that they thought they wanted. They said they weren't doing that because they wanted to hear from the public first about what kinds of things the public wanted. But it was pretty clear from the public comments, Jim O'Neill being the most articulate about them, that this was a site that had, first of all, they were putting the building on the site in a way that it was going to look north instead of southwest to take advantage of the vistas, that it was going to be, because they were being asked to deal with that building when there are two other pieces of land that are developable around there, the town council was being asked to give this variance for height when they didn't know what the other buildings were going to be used for. One is a bank, which pretty much everybody thought was useless. We don't
bank or restaurant.
Well, but let me just tell you, all the drawings say bank. There's not parking for a restaurant. There's not, you know, it's going to be, it says bank. And as long as all these drawings keep saying bank, 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 I think that's a problem. And then the other one is an office building, which is upsetting the Wakefield Meadows people. Because there's just, well... yes, but the whole question of how it is actually executed is very important. And the developer was not giving the planning board, I didn't think the developer had done his homework in terms of understanding what
there's
the...
There's no detail.
There was no detail. Chris showed various ideas about the building, and then he started in with his plan, I thought I would die. He started in with his computer-generated thing where he starts tilting the building this way and flipping it that way and turning it around the other way. But it's a totally theoretical exercise at the moment. So to ask the town what they want to see there, I thought it was just a hopelessly disorganized meeting. They hadn't done their homework to present something that was concrete enough for the planning board to be conducting the kind of conversation the planning board was trying to have. And so
that's it.
That it was a big waste of everybody's time. And I felt, you know, it's too bad for the developer. They kept saying they've been doing this for so many years and whatever. But, you know, if you've been at it for that many years, then maybe you should come with something that's a little bit more concrete and that has been where they've done some of the negotiation with Marriott, because Marriott is not necessarily going to agree to... I mean, Chris's thing was, you know, it had rounded arches and stone in it. It was a mishmash of architectural styles. It was a textbook drawing of different things.
You say Chris.
Chris Mazier.
He was there.
He's
wearing Fifth of Preet now?
Yeah. No. He's still his own little 401 thing. But he is, he's working, DePreet's the engineer.
He's the architect.
He's the architect, he's the advisory architect, because actually Marriott has a standard thing that they want to put there.
Right.
And then there was the whole question that I thought was very poorly handled about the use, the extra space. They were trying to get a variance to go higher because they were leaving more open space, but the open space is wetlands, it's really not usable. I mean, the whole thing was just so badly presented by the developer. The planning board hadn't even seen the drawings. Only two of them had seen the drawings. The two who'd gone to the T squared RC. Those people, that it was two of them, Pam and somebody, had been to that meeting, and they had seen the drawings, but nobody else had even seen the drawings. So how could they? I mean, it was the kind of thing that make you say, oh my gosh, public interactions are just hopelessly wasteful. Because it...
The recommendation, I know that Marriott, for these Fairfield Inns, has several different templates that you can do, okay? Because we had them. When they're talking with the Marriott about this, at least somebody from this committee should be involved in it, so we can get a better idea of what the hell they're trying to do. The other recommendation, I recommended to John Carter that he sit with Will Green to talk about those wetlands, because one of the things that came out of the planning board was there was no connectivity between that hotel and the commons because of the wetlands.
Well, they presented that to us.
And so I said to John Carter, have you talked to Will Green about that? And he said, no, I haven't. And I said, well, I recommend that you do it. Maria told him to do it, too.
There's no reason. You could connect those things across.
There's new technologies. Yeah, there's tons of stuff.
So the whole thing is... It's a mess.
But the unfortunate thing is that we talked about this at the meeting, too, the fact that we still don't have a venue for weddings in this town.
That's right. And this addresses this.
That's going to do the potential to do.
That's right. And that was another thing that somebody said was that, you know, the town hadn't articulated clearly what it really wanted, how it needs meeting space. It wants a venue that's a site that people are going to be attracted to. This is not, you know, this is not going to be a
but
site.
It's not the other thing the is developer's parking. Job to
no, it's not
create
the,
a
no,
wedding I, venue for this town.
I quite agree. But I think that if the developer understood that what the town was looking for was something different from merely the question of 100 rooms, if they felt that the town could articulate something about, you know, what it wanted, what it was looking for, that would be very helpful to the developer.
You weren't at the meeting, but Jay brought up the fact that we need the wedding venue and that kind of thing. But it's all dollars and cents.
It is.
And one of the things that Alex brought up at our work session with him was that this is basically the same proposal he brought to us and then to the town manager for a tax treaty 5 years ago. And if the tax treaty had been implemented 5 years ago, this year would have been the third year of the tax treaty. And this town would have had it built 4 years ago because he needed that tax money to put him over the top for the financing.
Yeah, but I would...
Yeah. And the town, because it's a hotel and has some food in it, the extra 1% the town would have had. So the town would have reaped about $500,000 in the last 5 years, even after giving the tax treaty because of the hotel room tax and had the jobs and all the economic development that went with it. And the reason why they're back at the table, it's not because of the economy or that kind of stuff. They're getting that extra financing, free money, from the State Commerce Corporation in a program that they have. And why they need it expedited and all that kind of stuff is that the state program only has X number of dollars in it, and they're running out of those X number of dollars. And if they don't get approval for what the limited thing they're offering now is, it won't happen again.
Well,
it's a very conservative, short-term view of the use of that property.
Well, it is.
And now we know why, because the money's available, so they want to throw something in.
So I just like to say that Steve, much as I criticize him for most everything he does, I have to say, he would not have given them a tax treaty. And that would have been right, because the tax treaty, as we all thought it up, was to have some economic development. Economic development is different from a fiscal injection into economic development.
As an incentive for somebody to develop.
To do something, I think it should have been used to do something. You don't want to just make it cheap for a developer. You want it to be also, if you're giving in those tax dollars, mm-hmm. there's got to be a benefit to the taxpayer as well. There's got to be something that the town gets back for that advantage. Yeah. And I don't think this building ever was going to have that. Maybe they need that in order to make the money back, because it's hard to make money out of hotel rooms, particularly when you build the bottom of the line kind of hotel.
Maria called me the afternoon of the planning board meeting. Wanted to know how ours went, and didn't give a recommendation. I told her yes, because she hadn't got it in her packet, because it was so rushed to get done through the planning department, but that she was going to get it. But I gave her the gist of what it said, and she said, well, I think it should have banquet facility, and it should be a full-fledged thing. I said, I don't disagree. I think it would be a win for the town, and I think it would be a good business to have that. But I said, I'm not the developer. And I told her the story of the tax treaty, and it didn't get done. I said, now, if he could resurrect that, and get a tax treaty or whatever you worked out with the town, maybe that plus the state money would allow him to spend $20 million instead of $15 million. Because right now it's $15 million to do what he said, according to what he said.
Yeah, that's not a $15 million development.
It's his money.
Yeah,
okay. But I said, can't do that anymore. She said, why not? She said, that would be a great idea. I said, because the only way you can be eligible in this town for a tax treaty is before it gets to this stage to have asked for it. And she said, well, that's crazy. I said, well, no, it isn't, because it was meant as an incentive for somebody to do it. Mm-hmm. And so she said, well, maybe we can work that. In other words, the plan did come to the town before this stage. And I don't think it got rejected. It got no decision.
From Steve.
Because I think this committee never got specific notice of it got turned down. It was just they were waiting on more information from the developer.
I think the way it goes is with the tax treaty, the onus is on the applicant to demonstrate that the basically gap financing, that they're there is an absolute gap in what they have available, and that the project model is that, you know, they will not make the money back without the tax treaty available. So basically, right, the tax treaty is not there so that someone can turn a greater profit. The tax treaty is there to make sure that a project that the town has sees as having value, it gives them the extra push of money that is absolutely necessary to make the project work. And then there's a sort of win-win of that the project is built in a circumstance where without it, it wouldn't be, and that the project then reaps financial rewards to the town because we get money, you know, tax dollars brought into the town that would otherwise not be there.
Right.
But I think what happened was that Steve didn't feel as though they actually satisfied the need to show that the gap financing was necessary.
Right.
And, I mean, here they are saying, like, hey, well, we got money from the state, but, you know, what you can't do is you can't say, we would have had a better project if I got more money. That's like saying, well, of course, you know, if someone gave you $5 million, you could build a better project, but that's not demonstrating that there was a gap between, you know, the model of this project will deliver this much. I think that they never really were able to show that.
I don't think they got an answer.
I think Steve, because he
was looking for more information.
Yeah.
They give it.
I think Steve said, you know, you need to demonstrate a lot more.
They could read the tea leaves.
Yeah, I think that that's probably right, is that Steve said, you need to show me a lot more to really demonstrate the absolute need for this money. Show me the gap financing. Here's what it would make it work. And Steve's not he doesn't float things. He gives you specific details. And I think they just said, I don't think we're going to be able to do this. Plus, I don't know if we'll be able to pass this litmus test. And so that's why it went away. And I think it did go away based on, you know, this is the information we need, and the applicant felt like they were.
So I think to get a banquet facility there and take the area of the bank, extend out that way so there's no bank.
No bank.
All right?
No
bank. And it's a banquet facility with a little restaurant as part of it. You know, I don't care what the flag is, Fairfield Inn or Marriott or whatever. But I think, realistically, they need the money, bless you, money that they're looking for from the state, and they need the tax. And that could be a negotiation with them.
Yeah, but they're not. They're clearly. I mean, they're.
You know, maybe the best thing that could happen would be for them not to build this and for him to sell the property to somebody who could develop it properly.
He's not doesn't cost him anything.
What?
To do what?
The land isn't costing him anything but the taxes that he's paying on it. It's paid for.
He could sell it to somebody
probably
else. Make more money by selling the property than he will make doing a hotel.
Yeah.
Then you won't see it.
Yeah.
Not right away, no. But I mean, your point, it's the last best chance to do something like that in this town. People go to Newport now for weddings. They go to the Holiday Inn at the Crossing for weddings.
My daughter's getting
married. If you build it, it's like a Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, you go to Weekapog or, you know, down there. Those places are beautiful. And Weekapog is low. It didn't have to ask for a variance. It's right up against wetlands. If you had somebody who didn't have this sort of standard corporate model, they could have come up with something that was very different. But, you know, I just think it looks like, don't write this down, Jenny, it looks like a bad developer, you know, a guy who doesn't really quite know how to do things well. And then he ran into a problem with a town that hasn't really made clear to people who would come to do projects here what kinds of things would sail through if they met some specifications for things that did actually have an economic development. Economic development is not a construction job. It's not a hotel. It's doing something, you know, it would be some kind of a facility that would attract all of the ancillary services around being able to have meetings. And
good is not the right word. But the one thing that came out of it is that the clock is ticking now.
Yeah.
With the new state law, they only have 90 days to make a decision.
So I think my two points about this all are that you can obviously see you know, the planning board is often put in difficult positions because here's a developer that has a ticking clock,
yeah.
and the town was trying to be amenable to an expedited review because we were trying to be, you know, generally conscious of the business-friendly nature of that and that they have money that would go away. But they're not really providing a great vision. They're not ready for the level of review.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at a certain point, you know, the town can't hold them up just on, you know, the details of, you know, information. If they provided a base amount of information, maybe they haven't provided every last little piece the town wanted, but that's not their job. Their job is to provide what they want to do, not what the town wants. And it's they provide what they want to do, and it's up to the town to say yes or no, or yes, we have enough information to make that decision. And you guys can see the difficult position the planning board's in.
It was really clear. I mean, I felt so badly for the town's reputation, for the planning board. They're gonna get lambasted if they turn this down. And frankly, they shouldn't, because I think they are they're being presented with a case they just should be able to say, no, I'm really sorry, this is not...
The only way I think they can hold them up is if they're asking for a variance, maybe the height variance or whatever.
And I think that's a good point. I mean, a lot of times this is like, it's the base zoning allows them certain things,
right.
And we don't want to make our base zoning that much more intricate, or else it makes it impossible for people to do their own vision.
Right.
But I mean, you guys see the balance of it. I mean, there's potential to do better. It's not the planning board's job to say, you could do better. It's their job to say, here's what you're doing. We have to say yes or no, or you've given us enough information for us to make the determination.
That can be part of one, though.
They can be, but at a certain point, you know, you can't bring them along any farther than they want to be brought.
Who's the they?
Don't they do it pre-act, though?
But I did want to say one other point. The town does, to your point, Jay, we do have actually wedding halls in town. But they're not in built structures. They're in agricultural landscape properties. We do have a process where someone can request for their property to be a wedding venue.
Carpenter Farm.
Yeah, Carpenter Farm, Farmhouse by the Sea. So there are venues, but they're not indoor. So that's the big difference.
Not indoor, and they're not. You know, you want to be able to handle 250 people.
You
know?
You could probably do that outside. You could do that.
But you know what I feel bad about? I feel bad that I was in favor of giving them approval the last time. And in retrospect, I want to apologize to you, Susan, but you weren't here. You should have been here.
I wasn't here.
Because you would have convinced me at that point that we're going to get another yellow bank RI.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Which is that what happened there? You know, nothing happened on that property, and somebody came along with something that should never have been done.
I know, and it uses up a valuable piece of.
Absolutely.
This is the.
It's gone forever.
This is the, you know, the concept of planning is that you use this land to the best possible use, and that's not what we're getting.
Any commercial projects?
Larry, one other. When I was sitting in this meeting...
The planning board meeting?
Yes. There was an individual sitting next to me that was making derogatory comments about Alex's ethnicity. Okay. I informed this gentleman that I was also Italian-American. At that point, he looked at how big I am, and he left. But I don't think there's any place, in any meeting in this town, for that type of crap.
Who was sitting next to you?
I don't know who he was. But
trying to think, I saw you.
Was he saying it out loud? Or
no, it was under his breath.
Under his breath, yeah.
So I told him, I'm Italian-American, do you know that? And he went,
When the Commons was going through its 47 public hearings, there were a lot of derogatory comments made publicly that were not addressed by the chair. I get it, yeah. The one other thing I had was at our last official meeting that we had here, we talked about the search committee for the town manager and anybody who had any input to give it to us. And Henry followed through on that and gave me, I don't know whether he gave everybody or me just
I think I sent the memo to everybody.
It was like two pages of somewhat sarcastic. Very,
I think it was sarcastic.
Very pointed.
They were frank.
Very frank.
They were frank.
Okay, only frank. As part of the search committee, the town council told them that they recommended that search the consultant that they hired to contact me for input from economic development. And I just wanted the committee to know that I delegated that to Henry because he had given me the 2 pages already, and I didn't have the time with my grandkid going through this, and I'm not done with it yet. Joe Beely asked me whether yesterday whether
No, they have not. I talked to Joe.
Yep.
I've worked with the Mercer Group before.
Okay.
And I told Joe I had. I didn't particularly know this guy.
Yeah.
This is a pretty big company.
Yeah.
And Joe took my card with all my contact information.
Okay.
About 2 weeks ago. Right. And I haven't heard from
him.
But I think
this was just this past week.
Yeah, I think they. I went to that meeting too.
And she can't come to our meeting. She's on all these other meetings, just so you know.
We don't rate it. Okay.
I had a board meeting, another board meeting the other night. I couldn't come here. But I heard the consultant. I thought it was interesting. I know what I was going to say. I don't remember the dates of the schedule, but the search is still open.
Oh yeah.
So they're still collecting.
Right.
Yeah. So they wouldn't.
Identify criteria. That's what he had done.
Yeah, but the guy read us some of the criteria, and it's sits on the right hand of God and walks on water and.
Involving compensation and benefits and perks and everything else.
IQ must exceed 100.
All right. Yeah. So if anybody,
my
point was that if anybody else, if you didn't get a copy of what Henry sent out,
I don't think I did.
Get it from Henry. If you want to add anything, he hasn't been contacted yet, so this would be a good time to have your 2 cents worth put into this, and talk to Henry because he's the one that's going to be in the air.
Henry, I wouldn't wait for the guy to contact you. I'd contact him.
I don't have his contact information,
but you can
get it from Joe.
Get it from Joe. You probably
it's
get it
on the website. I'm sure it's on the website.
I would suggest just let the process roll out. They're the search committee.
A lot of people in those situations don't want any input. They're going to do what they want to do.
I thought the consultant, even though he was a little bit old school, he seemed kind of grounded. I think he comes from the League of
Cities and Towns.
Cities and Towns, which is something Steve Alford sits on the board of, and so
he's the head of. I think well, he was.
Steve, yeah, Steve was. But anyway, this guy, I don't know. It's way too early, I think, to know what they're doing. He just came. The meeting I heard, he was just. Explaining what the process was going to be for.
Well, I thought they were in a hurry to do this. They wanted to have it done before the end of the year, right?
Oh, well.
Because Steve's retiring at the end of the year.
Retirement is flexible. He can stay on. They want him to overlap a little bit.
He's planning on through February.
Yeah, he can stay.
Heaven forbid.
I've got more than a year schedule.
But the important point that I would make to the group.
Set up a new pension firm as a consultant.
Right? Public officials.
So I have three.
Incredibly generous compensation packages. More so than you'd ever see in private industry.
I know. He's not going to get as much money as Steve gets.
The
new guys.
Or the benefits.
Steve is 25 years of earning an increase.
Yeah, and the increase, it drives me crazy as a taxpayer, but the increase is kind of automatic. It's 2% every few years. You get increase.
But the three different pension plans that he has.
Yeah, no, 2%, I know. I happen to know 2% is not inflation. If we had 2% inflation, we would be growing better than we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
All right. So I got one other thing. It's a scheduling thing. Our next set meeting is November 2nd. It's a Thursday.
Correct.
So that night is fine. except for the fact that the sustainability, the town is doing a sustainability forum. Basically, it's a broad public forum to try to gain public input on various different formats for sustainability. One thing that we're doing is the town is investing in applying for another round of Solarize. Anyone remember Solarize from a few years ago? We ended up having a lot of interest, a lot of signed contracts. But there's a variety of things that are going to be discussed at that. This would be the type of meeting we normally would actually invite all of our boards and commissions to. It just so happens that it's scheduled for the same time, the same night that you normally meet. I wanted to see if this group is interested in still meeting that night as an EDC, but meeting before this, maybe a little earlier than your normal time, then after we're done with our meeting, assuming it concludes on time, everyone can still, you know, if they're interested, attend the sustainability forum. What are your thoughts on that?
I like that better than changing.
I think we're going a long time between meetings. I mean, I think that since this has come up, maybe we should have the meeting in the November meeting in late October.
That's tough to do now. But I mean, this meeting, as we went into it, we knew this meeting was basically going to kind of serve as our October meeting, this late September.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I mean, basically, I didn't want to screw with your schedule too much because we've already screwed with your schedule enough, so I didn't want to change the night.
So we don't have a meeting.
So the options are either, in my mind, the options are either keep your night, keep your time, and do your meeting the way you want, or consider doing it a little earlier, and then maybe you can double dip your night with two meetings if you feel so, you know.
Okay, so, I mean, do it.
So may I have a point of clarification? So we are not planning an October 5th meeting?
Correct. Yeah, we rescheduled that. I'm out of the office again, so it's because of my schedule.
Right.
And
you might have said that, and I just didn't take it.
We combine in our August meeting.
Okay.
We combine September and October into a late September meeting.
Okay.
And that was largely to accommodate my schedule because I've got all of my families in town, and it's a big old kid fest. But I think that it just also happened to fall on the two Thursdays we skipped were two Pats game nights. So any football fan on the committee, one big.
Right.
I like the idea of meeting earlier on the 2nd and then being able to go.
Like 6 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, we don't need.
What time is the 7? Yeah, so that gives us an hour. The biggest thing we're going to be discussing in November is if you have your spreadsheet, and we'll agree to start. So that could that. But if we went an hour and a half, you know, we're basically at an hour and a half right now. If we have an hour and a half,
we just be
half on the commercial highway thing, and that's I think that's all we need. 45 minutes on that. It will kill that for what you'll have at that time. And then 45 minutes to see what Will Green came up with. And then formulate a plan for that.
You do never know what else might come up if you guys are asked for another development review or if anything else. So just keep that in mind. I mean, if you guys want to meet at 6, we could definitely do that. That gives you an hour. And then if you run longer, you're just cutting into the sustainability.
I've never seen a meeting go an hour. We've never been able to finish a meeting in an hour.
We have.
We could meet at 5:30, give yourself another half an hour. I mean, it's your schedules. I don't know who can get here by that early.
What about the 9th?
What's that?
No. I'm in Paris, France. I mean, Berlin. I don't know, somewhere.
I mean, I'll entertain whatever you guys want. You accommodated my requests on the schedule. I was thinking I didn't want to mess with your schedule, so I wasn't going to suggest a different night. But this is your regular night. Even if you wanted to hold the meeting when you want to hold it, we'll just do it concurrent with that other meeting. But I just thought you guys may be interested.
I'd like to do that.
Could we make it at 5:30? It gives us an hour and a half.
You could. At whatever time the group wants to do, I'll do it.
What's the first day of the week? Tuesday.
You can bring dinner to the meeting.
Thursday.
We'll have a bring dinner to the meeting.
5:30.
The first half hour of the sustainability thing is going to be just...
Hi.
Yeah. Well, they're going to bring in speakers from the national forest, state, basically a lot of us. Here's where homeowners can get some funds, here's where homeowners can make some choices.
I don't want to miss any of that.
I think they're looking at doing it like a pretty thorough job. This is the sustainabilities committee's kind of first, you know, hey, let's try to put something out there because they think the average homeowner doesn't have quite as much information as they could on savings and also, you know, just basic
regular homeowner choices you can make. So anyway, that's where we stand.
Anybody have an objection to 5:30?
Oh yeah, Brian.
I can't make it at 5:30.
But can you come at 6?
Yeah, but then that makes for a short, doesn't give us enough time for a meeting.
No, because we can go into
the sustainability meeting a little bit.
Just so you know, the sustainability committee, when they picked this date, they knew that was our regular meeting.
I don't know if they knew that, but I mean, they made it. This date got kicked back a few times, so I think that this group...
Where did that have this meeting?
I don't know. It was just given to me this week. This was previously going to be an October meeting, and I think the sustainability committee, which met yesterday,
just basically
settled on, we got to have this meeting, and you know, here's an open date. They probably were working on what schedules they had in their contacts at the state. They probably weren't focused on like every other town committee. Now, granted,
they're going to come looking for a location in the town. It'll be at the high school because we've got this, right?
Yeah.
And we'll see how it works.
Yeah.
I was at the high school.
I mean, if they were doing a public forum, they probably, and they wanted to do it in the chamber, we'd say, well, the UDC probably could do their, if we don't have a big meeting, we could meet in the conference room.
Well, sometimes we meet over there when there's somebody else meeting here.
We could meet in the conference room in the conference center.
Yes, we could.
And somebody would actually use that damn thing.
Right. Oh, I've spent...
You meet at 5:30, you have pizza brought in.
You've been in the meetings?
I have spent $120 renting that space.
Okay, what did you have there?
Well, we had a Preserve Wakefield meeting. We've had Healthy Places by Design meetings there.
You have to pay for that space?
We pay $20 an hour.
Wow.
What?
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
You realize you can have it at the police station for nothing. You can have it at the Chamber of Commerce.
I know,
for
but the thing is, it's right there on Main Street. We're talking about Main Street. We're on the bike path.
To whom are you paying $20
an hour? To the town, to the recreation department. Now, I am drafting a letter, which I'm behind on, but I'm writing a letter on behalf.
I could see a private fund, you know, if you were going to have a
you could have it in the guild, it wouldn't cost you anything.
I know, but you don't, but then the guild, you're not on the bike path, which is where we want to be.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, what's that say about the rec committee?
I know. You can have,
excuse me.
But of course, in the guild, you have no Wi-Fi. So I do have a meeting.
Well, that's another reason why to have it at the guild.
No, I have another board meeting at the Guild, and there's no Wi-Fi, and we have Google Docs.
Let's have conference rooms there.
So if this group, because it's a town committee, I think I could get you into that room for free. But groups outside of the town have to pay. I've been working with groups that are like actually focused on like, hey, you know, we're trying to do some good things for the town. Hey, do you think we can use that room? The Rec Commission has been under a lot of pressure. They don't want to pull favors because someone's doing, you know, like if you're a nonprofit, you have to pay. If you're a profit, you have to pay. Their policy is that it costs them staff because they have to have a staff come out and set the meeting up. So if it's going to cost them staff.
No, you don't.
You
pick up the key at the guild and the door locks behind you and you take the key into the guild the next day.
I think they end up having like someone come and just make sure that they pick up trash.
But you can, we've been told, we can write and say we are a 501c3 in both cases, and well, we are in Unhealthy Places. We're citizens group, 501c3 in the other case, and we would like to use that space. It's relevant to what we're talking about. We're talking about biking, we're talking about Main Street, we're talking about all these things. Would they please waive the fee? So I have to write two different letters, and it has to go before the Rec Committee, and I'm supposed to do it every time we're supposed to meet, but I'm going to ask the Rec Committee if they would blanket permit us to use that. I think it's really good to see people sitting in there and having a meeting, and they have. We had
all that. You want to show off the new little building.
That's right. That's what I mean.
So, what does it cost to use the restroom? Is it a quarter?
Well, that means you should do that.
Depends what you're doing in there.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Consistent.
You get the restroom free.
So, if they didn't charge a fee, too many people would use that room over there, and it would get too much use. And with too much use, then there's trash, and they have to clean it.
To rein back in, 5:30, November 2nd, do you want to meet They're here. I mean, I don't know where the sustainability forum is. If they're going to have it in town hall, they're going to want it here, which makes sense. They're trying to have a lot of public people.
Yeah. So then we just need them.
But they're or the
masses. I think we should keep our rules.
Right. We should charge them 20. Let's just charge
you guys. You guys come early. Just don't get out of your seat.
I think let's get here, Larry. We're going to get here 2:00 in the afternoon. We'll sit here.
I think we should charge them $20 an hour.
That's right. He's got a point. Why don't we sublet to that thing? Well, $20 an hour. We're going to sublet our space to the sustainability committee.
Right. $20.
Who do they think they are? They're a new committee. And what the hell is this? You know, we can't have it on the plan for one time.
What's going on?
Right? Really? We can't have it on the plan for one time.
Absolutely.
This is great.
You bring the Stella, and I'll bring the
Absolutely. Or we could just go to Camden. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. So, 5:30.
5:30 here.
Okay. In this building.
Right here. On our normally scheduled spot.
Well, Larry, I would just like to point out that we do move over there.
When we're trying to have a meeting and we try to get it here and it's not available because there's planning board or something else and it's not our normal thing, that's when we have in there. Well, that's when we've been down in the building.
I think when the commission, the historic commission meets.
There's a few times where the two meetings coincide. If two meetings coincide, they both want to happen in town hall. We look at what's going to happen between the two meetings, and if there's one that can happen in a smaller room, that's what goes in there. It doesn't necessarily, like, who called it first? It's out of the two meetings, where does it make sense to do what?
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. I think you got to look at the history now.
It's our time.
If you guys had 20 people a night in your meetings, then we'd set up.
I think we'll have an open meeting for Route 108 and Tower Hill Road that night. In here, right?
Sounds good.
They'll bring in some property owners.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. But I just,
so 5:30 in this building.
From the mall. Okay. Bring them over.
Thanks.
That's November 2nd.
November 2nd, 5:30. Great.
All right.
Thank you very much. Get some sleep, you know?
I haven't moved anything yet, so allow me to make a motion.
Oh, there you go.
No one will
say. Good night, Jenny.
We can have a vote on it.